When our family has extended time together, like the Christmas holidays or summer vacation, we often work a jigsaw puzzle. Each of us has different skills in finding and matching pieces, so it's truly a collaborative effort. And when it's done, we all stand back and admire it for about a day, and then it gets broken down and put back in the box, almost never to be reassembled again. Because a second go at the same puzzle feels like recreating a prior experience rather than making something new together. It's just not as much fun. Jesus's parables are a bit like jigsaw puzzles. They are intended to reveal God's vision for the world, and because they're often paradoxical and opaque, they want to be considered piece by piece and then as a whole. It's tempting to treat parables, like the one we heard today, like puzzles with one solution, one fixed meaning. Our problem-solving minds want to unlock that mystery once and for all and then move on to something else challenging. But parables are not two-dimensional jigsaw puzzles. They are multi-layered stories that are literally cast alongside our lives, like a moving stream next to us that reflects both the one peering into the water and the landscape all around them. So in different times and places and for different people, parables draw a multitude of responses. In Jesus's time and today, parables are meant to surprise the hearer, challenging us to look at the hidden parts of our lives and our values. Sometimes that can lead to uncomfortable realizations and tough questions. And when it does, we know we're probably on the right track. The biblical scholar Amy Jill Levine suggests that rather than asking what a parable means, we do better off to ask what it can do, how it can provoke us, remind us of something, confront us, or console us. So, what did this parable of the wheat and the weeds do for its original hearers? Matthew's gospel was written for a first century community, increasingly at odds with religious leadership and threatened by Roman imperial power. The second half of today's gospel that we heard is Matthew's interpretation of Jesus' parable for this community. And it would have encouraged them, and it would have strengthened them, because wheat and weeds growing side by side mirrors their reality of both justice and oppression on a daily basis. But Jesus assures them that God's kingdom of freedom and peace will eventually prevail. That is the promise of the harvest, the culmination of the story. Our context is different from those Christians, though. So, how does this parable confront us? In the Bible, the story of the wheat and weeds only appears in Matthew's gospel. And this was all we knew until 1945, when the Gospel of Thomas was found in a cache of manuscripts hidden in Nag Hammadi, Egypt. Now, the Gospel of Thomas was written at least one, maybe two generations after the Gospel of Matthew. And so it's written for different people at a different time. And Thomas's version is much shorter than Matthew's, and it offers no interpretation at all. He simply writes, "Jesus said, 'The kingdom of the Father is like a man who had good seed. His enemy came by night and sowed weeds among the good seed. The man did not allow them to pull up the weeds. He said to them, "I am afraid that you will go intending to pull up the weeds and pull up the wheat along with them. For on the day of the harvest, the weeds will be plainly visible, and they will be pulled up and burned." So here in Thomas's version of this parable, the focus is not on the harvest, but it's on the farmer's decision to allow the weeds and the wheat to grow together, giving them time to reveal themselves. And I think that is where we can find our way into this story. First, we need to talk about weeds. Anyone who is a gardener knows that no matter what you plant, you are going to get weeds. Their spores and their seeds are constantly on the move, brought in by the wind or birds or animals who the seeds or spores stick to their fur. These seeds are not sown by the enemy, but by natural parts of nature. And weeds are unavoidable. And when they're newly sprouted, it's hard to tell the difference between them and the other plants. Furthermore, weeds are not bad in and of themselves. Now, if they're left unattended, they can crowd out the plants you want to grow, but weeds have good properties as well. Some are medicinal, like horsetail and borage and chickweed. Many weeds are nutritious with lots of vitamins and antioxidants. Think dandelion, red clover, and stinging nettle. And other weeds are protective and beautiful, keeping away pests and adding color to the landscape. Still, many of us gardeners consider weeds a thing to eradicate immediately and completely. And while a tidy, weedless garden may be harmless, this parable is really not about literal weeds and wheat. This parable exposes a deeper fixation that isn't harmless at all when applied to the complexities of being human. The quest for perfection and control, which we have to admit is deeply rooted in our culture. We see this quest clearly on social media, even in exchanges among trusted friends. The posts of humble brags and shiny curated lives set impossible standards, and they stir up comparison and self-judgment. I long for the social media platform that invites and normalizes the messy truth of our lives, our parenting stumbles, the challenges of loving relationships, our resistance to forgiveness, the aches of aging, the fear of mortality, the list goes on, all of it. These experiences are the weeds of being human. Our imperfections and our unhelpful ways that are impossible to eradicate, and if unattended, can crowd out some of the garden, if not a lot of it. But when we treat imperfections like an enemy by trying to deny them or repress them, we are essentially counting ourselves as the enemy. And the lost energy and pain from that stunts the fruitful growth, the wheat of creativity and love and service. The fact is, we are a mixture of wheat and weed, and that will always be the case. We are a mixture as individuals, as families, and as a community. We are made in God's image, and we are fully human, which means we have the potential for wholeness and holiness, even as we are flawed and sometimes broken. A millennia of wisdom teachers have known this And they have known that when we embrace the tension of this mixture of wheat and weeds, and when we do it with patience and curiosity, we open ourselves to spiritual growth. Starting back with the desert fathers and mothers in the first few centuries CE, to Julian of Norwich and 12-step programs, and Brené Brown and Richard Rohr, all of these have taught from their own context that spirituality is not about exemplary piety, but about letting go of the things we cannot control and learning to live with imperfection. Our mistakes, our limitations, and the confusing passions of our souls. Salvation, these wise people insist, is not a future event, but it is happening here and now. In fact, it is precisely the place of our limitations and imperfections where the holy enters our lives. God comes to us through our wounds, sowing compassion and connection and perseverance, and teaching us to release that need for control and the need for judgment of self and others, which allows for healing for ourselves as individuals, for our families, and for our community. The reality is that the seeds of the weeds remain, and they will always be on the breeze, getting deposited into our garden. Their life cycle will always be part of the story of the abundant wheat in our lives. But the difference is this: when we can learn to appreciate the healing and nourishing properties of the weeds, their potential for being part of our healing, instead of rejecting them, we accept them and are grateful. So, what are the weeds of imperfection and misplaced control in your life, in your family's life, in this community's life? How are you tending them or ignoring them? What would it be like to accept them just as they are and invite the Holy One to show you the role in your healing? Amen.